On Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text Number 72. This chapter is entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idam aha purasmatam bhagavan vishvashri adi vivadinam atma janam shishriksho sam shishatam Idam maha purasmakam Bhagavan Vishvasikpati Divarinam atmajanam Shishrikshu samshishriksata Idam maha purasmakam Pati Varinam Atma Jhanam Shikshikshu Samshikshatam Idam Mahapurasmatam Bhagavan Vishvatik Pati Varinam Atma Jhanam Shikshikshu Samshikshatam Idam, this, aha, said, pura, formally, smakam, unto us, Bhagavan, the Lord, Vishvashik, the creators of the universe, Pati, master, Bhriguarinam, of the great sages headed by Bhrigu. Jainam of his sons, Shishrikshu, desirous of creating, Sam Shishrikshatam, who are in charge of creation. Translation: this prayer was first spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators, headed by Bhrigu, were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create. Please repeat. This prayer was first spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators, headed by Bhrigu, were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create. Prabhupada Vaishvanga Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Brahma was created by Lord Vishnu. Then Lord Brahma created Lord Shiva and other great sages headed by Bhrigu Muni. These great sages included Bhrigu, Maitreya, Atreya, Vasishtha and others. All these great sages were in charge of creating population. Since there were not many living entities in the beginning, Vishnu entrusted Brahma with the business of creation. And Brahma, in his turn, created many hundreds and thousands of demigods and great sages to continue with the creation. At the same time, Lord Brahma cautioned all his sons and disciples by reciting the prayers now recited by Lord Shiva. Immaterial creation means material engagement, but material engagements can be counteracted if we always remember our relationship with the Lord, as that relationship is described in these prayers recited by Lord Shiva. In this way, we can remain constantly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, despite our engagement in the creation, we cannot be deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for this purpose. In the material world, everyone is engaged in some particular occupational duty which is prescribed in the Varnashram Dharma, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and everyone are engaged in their occupational duty. But if one remembers his first duty, keeping in constant contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything will be successful. If one simply executes the rules and regulations of the Varnashram Dharma in the role of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Sudra and keeps busy and does not remember one's eternal relationship with the Lord, one's business and activities as well as occupational duties will simply be a waste of time. This is confirmed in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam 1-8. Dharma sanusita punsam vispaksena kidhas surya notapaya dhira tim shrama hi eva hi kevalam. The conclusion is that even if one is busy executing his occupational duty, his business in Krishna consciousness need not be hampered. He has simply to execute the devotional service of shravanam, kirtanam, hearing and chanting and remembering. One need not abandon his occupational duty, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:46. Yattaha pravati bhutanam jena sarvamidam tattam prakamanatam avacharya abhyacharya siddhim vinati manava. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, man can, in the performance of his own duty, attain perfection. Thus one can continue with his occupational duty, but if he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Lord Shiva herein prescribes, he attains his perfection of life. Sanu sitasya dharmasya samsithir haritoshanam. From Bhagavatam 1-13. We should continue executing our occupational duties, but if we try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by our duties, then our lives will be perfected and appropriate. Omagyanam Kinamdashya. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani. Chaitanya Nene Sesha Sandhavani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Girada Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Translation again. This prayer was first spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators, headed by Bhrigu, were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create. In this chapter, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, some very essential instructions are given to the Pachetas, sons of King Ashwin Harishad, who were ordered by their father to go and increase the population. So then they went to perform austerities and Lord Shiva, desiring to bestow his mercy on them and humanity, because these were leaders, their business was not just to procreate, their business as princes would be to rule the planet. So Lord Shiva is given these very elaborate instructions and very concise, which essentially are, he's establishing the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the most powerful person who's doing everything. He enters in everything, how he controls everything in his different expansions, how he gives a description, personal description of the Lord's beautiful form. He glorifies the devotees of the Lord, how they, by the devotee's mercy one can attain the mercy of the Lord. And it is the Lord that is to be pleased in every respect. And how the conditioned souls here are struggling due to forgetfulness of their situation, of the actual situation. So great enlightenment is given these devotees. So this same prayer he's saying was given by Lord Brahma, who instructed us and all of the sages, because they wanted to create. You know, creation generally means motor passion. We create something, it means that we desire to extend our influence to achieve something, right? That's life. Create the situation, create, produce something. So then when we act in that way, but the material world is a very difficult place, so therefore it's a struggle for the conditioned souls. Because they're all struggling, all the conditioned souls are struggling with their senses, including the mind. So it's always difficult. But if you remember the Lord, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember me, if you become conscious of me, the 18th chapter says, by my grace, you will cross over all obstacles. you become conscious of Krishna, become a friend of Krishna, and he is actually the controller of all of these laws. So then he can make life easy for you. Otherwise, how can the living entity, conditioned at that, 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair, move this material energy around? Not possible. Not possible. Greater living entities, also conditioned, 33 crores, they're doing that, moving this energy around, material energy. It's not our business, not our position, and it's an impossibility. But under dictates of the false ego, we think ourselves to be the doers, and we endeavor in that respect. We get a little success in our endeavors, and that goes to our head and think that we can do anything, even up to the foolishness of desiring to be God. This is the sad condition of the living entities in the material world. The Prabhupada says material engagement means material creation means material engagement. We have to engage in the material energy. We have to engage ourselves to live. There has to be engagement, there has to be contact. And as we well know, this contact means entanglement, right? on the subtle and gross levels. Anyway, in any case, it's always difficult. Kali Yuga, anyway. It's always difficult. Quite the endeavor. Thinking, feeling, and willing. You're endeavoring to do something. But there's so many obstacles. Vaikuntha, no anxiety, no obstacles. Kunta, material world obstacles. Pressure. It is the physics of this material world. It's physics is the displacement of energy. You have to move energy to achieve something. You're dealing with this energy, and when you're displacing one energy with another energy, that's generally hard work. From subtle to gross, it gets more and more hard. Air is easy. Air is easy to displace. Water is a little harder. Then earth is even harder. And you come across stone, and it's, requires great endeavor for that energy displacement. Hard work. The more gross, the more hard. So it's the same in management also. The atmosphere is in the mode of goodness, then it's management's easy, you get a good result. The mode of passion is difficult, troublesome. And if the mode of ignorance prevails, then it's almost impossible to get anything done, isn't it? So we see that from the more gross, then the more difficult. The more fine, then the more easy life is. Living is easier. From the 14 planetary systems, they get finer and finer as you go up. More into the mode of goodness. So, and it's much easier living as you move up. Less pressure. It's a much, much finer energy you're actually dealing with. Sati Yuga, right? Very nice time. Because everyone is devotee of Krishna, more or less. Vishnu. So everyone is more or less Paramahamsa. Everyone's always remembering Krishna. Everyone is acting under the laws of God. Very nice. Everything is nice. Easy there. Right? So you don't have to plow the earth. You just sow the seeds and they grow automatically. Huh? But now you have to work so hard to get some fruit. Big endeavor. Hard work. Kali Yuga, you have to eat grains. In Sati Yuga, you can live on air. Not air. marrow in the bones. Hiranyakashipu lived without eating and without breathing. Then you get to live on air, then you can live on water. Now you need drinks, more and more growth to exist. So existence becomes tougher and tougher. So from subtle to gross it gets more and more difficult. So Lord Brahma is telling, given the essence of these prayers, that you should, in all your works, you should remember Krishna. Then it will be easier. Otherwise, the further away you get from Krishna, the more in the mode of ignorance, then the more the struggle becomes. And the more the struggle, the more absorbed, the more attention it takes, the more absorbed becoming something, the more difficult it is, the more energy we have to put into it, the more absorption, and the more we forget Krishna. Because these things become very important. They require so much endeavor to do something. So you have to give all your focus there, it's where you forget Krishna. And then you forget the real purpose or the real purport of life. So Lord Brahma is given these instructions. Instructions that they're very comprehensive. He's not telling them all the details how to be a good ideal grihastha, how to produce nice children, how to manage the country properly. He's not saying that. He's telling, wherever you do it, of course this system is already there, according to the Lord's Vanasha. But whatever you do, you have to see the Lord in it. Otherwise, the result won't be so good. And it can be very difficult. This, and the shloka says, he's saying here that this prayer was spoken to Lord Brahma. This is parampara now. So I'm telling you, this is coming to Lord Brahma, the master of creation, who empowered all these sages to create. So Brahma is considered by all the authorities as the most learned person. The most learned person, he's the topmost authority in the universe about what's going on in here. In Brahma Loka, Sataloka, there's a Vaikuntha region. And Lord Brahma goes there, and Vishnu has 1,000 heads there. The Mahapurusa's there. He's laying there with Lakshmi. And he has the lotus come from his navel, and that's Brahma's seat. Anyway, Lord Brahma sits on the lotus and offers very eloquent prayers to the Lord. Then the Lord gives him instructions. And he hears those instructions, and then Brahma repeats those instructions to make sure he's assimilated those instructions and he's perfectly understood the procedure. So he gives instructions how to create, or more esoteric instructions on pure devotional service also. And then Brahma, after hearing, he comes back, then he imparts this knowledge and for his job of creation. Then he goes again, sometimes to see the Lord. This is within the material universe. So he's obviously he's getting directly instructions from the Lord. So he's considered the topmost authority there. So again, the essence, Lord Brahma has given the essence of all knowledge Lord Shiva has given the essence which he's received to the projectors. And that is to somehow or other always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And that's the instructions of all of the that's the verdict of all of it. Whereas in the Bhagavatam, Shamahi the Kevalam, if you perform in your duties very nicely and you're absorbed in those duties and doing them perfectly, but not understanding the reason why you're doing them, then it's simply a waste of time. Completely wasting time. Of course, that's from the spiritual perspective. From the material perspective or relative perspective, it may be okay. You know, you'll get a job done, you'll have a peaceful life, you'll get more elevation in your next birth. But from the spiritual perspective, you know, what are the rules and regulations for? Krishna says, by the Vedas I am to be known. That's the purpose of all the rules and regulations, is to know Krishna. So if you follow the rules and regulations perfectly, but don't understand the purpose of them, then you've wasted your time, more or less. And you take birth again, you get a better situation within the material world, whereas if you had understood properly, you could have been back in the spiritual world, in your constitutional position. Constitutional position? Always remembering the Lord, never forgetting the Lord, always engaged in service to the Lord. Engaging in... So the occupational duty is meant for the pleasure of the Lord, ultimately. So this is what we... should remember. This is Rupa Goswami's instructions to us also, from Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The essence of all of the rules and regulations is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. But they're the essence. So Prabhupada has given us essential instructions for Mayapur in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says the managers of Mayapur should see perfectly well that the Hare Krishna mantra, I'm not paraphrasing, Maha mantra is can only the Maha mantra can be heard everywhere. Something like this. So that will make the management all perfect. So it's not a detailed thing. He just said you have to chant, everyone has to chant Hare Krishna, or there has to be Hare Krishna mantra going around and everyone hears that, then the place is perfect. Otherwise, such a big endeavor to make this place, to attract people here, and if they don't hear Hare Krishna, then or they don't take prasadam, they don't associate with devotees, then why are we having such a big endeavor to maintain this whole complex? Srila Prabhupada said, I could have sat under a tree. The devotees are simple. We can sit anywhere. We can sit under a tree, chant Hare Krishna. He said, but people would not come. If I put in a newspaper, Swami Bhaktivedanta is sitting under a tree on the bank of the Ganga giving Bhagavad discourse, no one would come. But if you make something very spectacular, people come. Oh Swami. So they're very impressed by opulence. So this is the Prabhupada's method of preaching, one of his methods of preaching. What people like, you create that, but you connect it all to Krishna. So to give him a nice place, he said, bring a nice place here, make nice parks, give nice prasad, nice facility to stay, and people will come here, have picnic. They're going somewhere. So give them, make a situation here, but you make them Krishna conscious. So there's always benefit just by coming into the dham, they will benefit. Just by entering into the dham, they will benefit. And of course they're going to hear Hare Krishna for sure. But that was Prabhupada's essential instruction. This will make the management all perfect. That Hare Krishna is heard everywhere. Essential. If the management, if the leadership can pick up on it, then it may be a more successful project here. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Essential instructions. Right, he said that from day one. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He was still saying right the way through. Prabhupada said if you simply chant Hare Krishna, sometimes he said we can go back to Godhead simply by hearing also. But he was talking to one person. You simply chant Hare Krishna. If you like philosophy, We have 60 volumes of books, you can read that. Otherwise, Hare Krishna. Of course, there has to be some knowledge that, you know, within our relationship with Krishna. So this is what Lord Brahma is saying. And the prayers apply to us also, especially us as sadhikas. We're also struggling, right? We're having a tug of war with our false ego on the good instructions that we're reading here, even though we have this knowledge, fantastic knowledge, nothing like it anywhere. We have so much knowledge. Still, we are reluctant to actually surrender to this, accept this knowledge and surrender to it. Not an easy thing. False ego is so stubborn. So even knowingly, we will hesitate to accept. In other words, not accepting these instructions too hard. That there is no actual satisfaction or peace happiness in the material for the jiva in connection with matter. It is pretty obvious, but by experience we think there is. And we've heard it hundreds of times. Jiva can never be satisfied in matter, but still we go on trying and trying and trying. Eh? Trying to adjust things to make us more comfortable. Trying to adjust situation to be happy. It's a natural instinct, because that is our natural state. But to think that we're going to adjust the material energy and achieve this, how many times have we heard that? Still we don't give up. Still we don't just rely on Krishna and depend on Krishna. I mean, to a certain extent you have to. Prabhupada said in his Bhagavad Gita, you have two duties, occupational duties and constitutional duties. Prabhupada explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Now occupational duties, or you have to follow the laws of the government, and you have to, you know, necessary defense, seeking sleep, made in defending. Then there's transcendental activities. So they should go on side by side, but the importance should be the transcendental activities, because you have to act anyway in this world. We're forced to act. Everyone is forced to act. So we should have. Now we have this knowledge, this knowledge that Brahma is given, and the Vedas are given, Shiva is given. Perform your occupational duties. These are prescribed occupational duties he's talking about, because they're highly civilized human beings. It means perform your occupational duties within Nirvana and Ashram. And that is the best situation, the best mode of life to remember Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. But even then, it's always dangerous, because you're dealing with the, you know, material energy, material body, satisfying the demands of the body, which you have to. So there's always danger there. So the Varnashram culture will stop us. Much easier to remember Krishna in that culture. Therefore, it's given by Krishna. Therefore, it's the best one. But that's not the. But we shouldn't just try to perfect that. This is the instructions that Srila Prabhupada is given in the purport. Otherwise, you miss the opportunity of actually surrendering to Krishna. And if you surrender to Krishna, you get everything you want. You get your peace and you get your happiness. Living entity, under false ego, we desire to show to show our superiority, to show how great we are. We want to be worshipped, we want to be respected, right? Everyone's trying to do that. So what is the best way to do it? Who is the most respected? Who is the most worshipped? Huh? Those that don't want it. Right? Those that surrender to Krishna, they're the attractive ones, right? They're the ones we worship, they're the ones we talk about, they're the ones we want to associate with, right? We like those people as friends, they're the ones we go to. So all your desires will be fulfilled anyway, even if you desire for that. prestige and fame and name, which is very attractive, surrender to Krishna, you'll get it unlimitedly. You become ruler of the world. So you'll always win. As soon as you give up the idea for yourself and do for Krishna, then you get all those things, everything reverses. While you're trying, it's a struggle, struggle, struggle. But when you give it up, then it all comes automatically. All the name, fame, adoration comes automatically. When you give it up, when you give up that endeavor for it, it comes automatically when you take shelter of Krishna. Because you become attractive, becoming a pure devotee of Krishna, everyone loves you. You love Krishna, everyone loves you. So everyone's looking for love in the world, this is it. You love Krishna, automatically everyone loves you. You don't have to work so hard. This is a spiritual life and material life. It's a very strange combination. take these essential instructions to our heart and our intelligence, and follow in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and the Prachetas, by always acting in such a way that we'll always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And then that is our perfection and success of the song sung by Lord Shiva. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I don't know, Dinus. Any comments or questions?
If in Satya Yuga everyone is so elevated and pure devotee, how comes that actually it's the purpose which we are trying to achieve now? And in Satya Yuga they have this, and how comes that they don't get liberation, they degrade to such a stage in which we are now, in Kali Yuga?
Good question. Can't answer. Somehow or other, evidence is we're still here. We didn't go out in Kali Yuga, although the perfect opportunity in Satya Yuga, although we were devotees, although it was the perfect opportunity, somehow or other we stayed around and we're here. Maybe someone else can answer the question. Don't ask him.
What was the last part of her question? It was why?
Why we didn't all go? We're striving to be like they were in Satya Yuga. I mean, all devotees. But how come in that time they didn't go back to Godhead?
Well, in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, right after the Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangho Pangashtra Parshadam verse, which predicts Lord Chaitanya's advent, there's a description of how the sages of Satya Yuga worship Kali Yuga. And because the Yuga Dharma is so powerful that people are elevated to the highest levels of Krishna consciousness. And then there's a description of how in Kali Yuga the suffering is so, the conditions are so hellish and people suffer so much that they're forced to take shelter of the holy name. And by taking shelter of the holy name, then they come to the highest levels of Krishna consciousness. So many of this, you know, the most enlightened sages of Kali Yuga want to take birth in Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, in this description, there's a lot of commentaries by the Acharyas. It's a very interesting section. And They say that the sages in Kali Yuga or in Satya Yuga are so qualified that they wouldn't be satisfied with such a simple yuga dharma as vibrating a 16-word mantra with their tongues. But they need these very intricate asanas of the Astanga yoga process and a very complex pranayama. But still in all, they somehow, they're because of their level of advancement, they understand that there's something very special about Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya comes and gives unusual levels of mercy that, and you know, he comes to present the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that's, you know, the sages of Satya Yuga, they're meditating upon Super Soul. It's primarily a Shanta Ras relationship, and then they maybe will get to the platform of where they can actually feel a service mentality. You know, there's more like an awe and reverence appreciation in the Shanta Ras. So, you know, it may be another few lifetimes, you know, that they are aspiring for. I mean, it's a very unique section, but that's the description. So, very healthy mentality, you know, to want to take birth in Kali Yuga so that you can get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Is that okay? I couldn't quite hear. I have trouble hearing when they're fans. You heard Pankajani. What did she say?
How come if they're all pure devotees in Satya Yuga?
Well, there's at least they're all in the mode of goodness and they may be pure devotees, but there's nothing wrong with becoming a purer devotee. If they, you know, very not at all unusual for someone that's a very advanced in Krishna consciousness to want to become even more advanced. That's actually the responsibility of the pure devotee, to come closer and closer to Krishna.
They're not all pure unalloyed devotees there, obviously. They're engaging in meditation, you see. They're wanting to achieve something.
That's like in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, Krishna is presenting this yoga ladder. And one of the rungs on the yoga ladder is Astanga Yoga. And then comes Bhakti. So it may not be, I'm not really sure where you're referencing that they're all pure devotees in Satya Yoga. They're on the rung of the yoga ladder before Bhakti. And that presentation that Krishna's making, usually the rungs are stepped one after another, you know, from Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga to Astanga Yoga. It's usually a multiple lifetime, progression. It's not like we get the opportunity to jump on the express elevator. Prabhupada's given us that, and that means one lifetime finished. Back to Godhead. So, you know, they're a little maybe somehow or other, there's some transcendental frustration that they experience, and so they start eulogizing and longing to take birth in Kali Yuga to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Read the chapter. It's fascinating. Fifth chapter, 11th canto. It's mind-blowing. We're more fortunate. I mean, and the conditions are so extreme in Kali Yuga that we have no choice but to cry to the Holy Name. I mean, it's heavy. Right?
The Pachata said they're not pure devotees. This is Satya Yuga we're talking about. So they're not unalloyed devotees. although Shiva recognized him as Vaishnavas, and he had come to show his mercy, so he's given them enlightenment. It's like demigods are all devotees, but they often get into trouble, and they're not pure unalloyed devotees. So Satyayuga is a perfect opportunity, it's a perfect environment, but still, there's so many chapters in the Bhagavatam about Satyayuga, and they have their problems also.
They're very complacent because there's not sinful activity, they don't suffer. But here in Kali Yuga, suffering so intense, so then, what is Prabhupada's direction about how to chant Hare Krishna? To cry like a child for his mother. And it's much easier to cry if you're in a painful condition. That's when children usually cry for their mother. So Kali Yuga provides very wonderful facility for that crying.
Okay. Bhagavatam ki, Chakopala ki, yeah.